Hey everybody, welcome one and all to New Music at Noon, aka the New Music Mondays podcast, if you are into that sort of thing. Thank you so much for joining me and chilling with some good tunes. I'm your host, Ben in Toronto, and I think we've got a really good show lined up for you. We're talking to Queens and Kings about their new song. It's called I'm Beggin', and we'll listen to the song also. You know, we like that stuff too. We've got some new stuff from the Dirty Nil. I've been meaning to share because it's just awesome. And if you don't know the Dirty Nil, you're in for a real alt-rock treat. But first up, we have something I can only describe as incredibly special. On August 20th, 2016, 11.5 million people tuned into a live performance from Rogers K-Rock Center in Kingston, Ontario, as the Canadian band The Tragically Hip played their final show under the weight of knowing this would also be their friend and frontman Gord Downie's last performance. The show would go down as part of modern Canadian history. In 2017, at the Tragically Hip Studios in Bath, Ontario, Downie recorded what would be his final album. Away Is Mine is a 20-track collection of songs that, quote, highlights Gord's poetic mastery with vibrant yet haunting production by Niall Spencer that casts each song in a different, otherworldly light. According to a statement from Arts and Crafts, the label releasing Downie's Away Is Mine. The album Away Is Mine will be out October 16th, 2020. In the meantime, two tracks have been released and are available on places where you get your music. You can also pre-order the double LP vinyl and the double CD pack at gorddowney.com. They come with some pretty awesome artwork, so if you're into that sort of thing, definitely check that out. This is Useless Nights by the late and great Gord Downie.
We're at cross sea. Yeah. You and me, it's impractical to dream in the wind from the west and the colored moving east. Yeah. I'm as happy as my least happy kid. I'm not happy about it nor humiliated about it. We are together on this. And please be good to me. Yeah, save me from the useless nights. Sleeping in dreary places, I'm bored with being down. Just listen, don't guess, please. Oh my God. What am I here for? Hey now, to be just understood. Jump and shout.
Downie was truly one of the coolest people in Canadian music, and he's greatly missed. Downie spent a great deal of his time in the later part of his life fighting for the rights of Indigenous Canadians. In one of his final performances with The Hip on August 16th, 2016, at First Ontario Centre in Hamilton, Ontario, the artist mentioned Prime Minister Justin Trudeau by name as the leader to move the needle forward on the matter of Indigenous reconciliation in Canada. Downie also released Secret Path in 2016, an album and an art project created in memoriam for Chani Wenjack. Chani was a young boy who died on October 22, 1966, walking the railroad tracks, trying to escape from the Cecilia Jeffrey Indian Residential School to walk home, to the home he was taken from. Chani's home was 400 miles away, and he didn't know that. He didn't know where he was, and he didn't know how to find his way home. But like so many other Indigenous kids, more than anyone will be able to imagine, Channy tried. Downey had this to say on the website for the Secret Path Project. Quote, "Channy haunts me. His story is Canada's story. This is about Canada. We are not the country we thought we were. History will be rewritten. We are all accountable. But this begins in the late 1800s and goes to 1996. White Canada knew, on somebody's purpose, nothing about this. We weren't taught it. It was hardly ever mentioned." End quote. I'm going to play a track from Secret Path, and I highly, highly encourage you to check out Channy's story and Downey's Secret Path project online at secretpath.ca. This is The Stranger by Gord Downey.
That is not my dad. My dad is not a wild man. Doesn't even drink. My daddy's not a wild man. On a secret path, the one that nobody knows. On the path nobody knows. I'm the stranger.
go check out secretpath.ca when you have a minute. Queens and Kings is a post-punk garage rock duo from Toronto, Canada. The team is a relentless powerhouse on stage, so when live music does come back, I eating a bug. God. Oh, that was terrible. That was so terrible. The team is a relentless powerhouse on stage, so when live music does come back, I recommend checking these two out as soon as possible. Safety first, of course. The two have known each other for almost a decade, but didn't begin their musical journey together until a few years ago. I spoke to Alyssa and Brendan from Queens and Kings about their new track, I'm Beggin'. Here's some of that interview before we get into the track. I'm here with Alyssa and Brendan from Queens and Kings. Alyssa, Brendan, how are you guys?
I'm doing good.
Pretty awesome.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Can you tell me about your new track, I'm Beggin'?
Yeah, well, we just released it. The song came out on the 18th and the video came out on the 25th.
Her birthday.
Which was my birthday.
Yay, happy birthday.
Thank you. I decided, you know, like, yeah, it's a pandemic and everyone's kind of going through shit, but like, I'm going to do something to make this birthday epic nonetheless.
Yeah. And, you know, not a better day than all the hard work we spent on the song and, you know, holding it back for during the pandemic, not sure when to release, just like every other band trying to figure out what the best way in this uncharted territory is to go forward. But we couldn't turn down the release on the birthday, right? So
yeah, well, it had been a really long time coming. Like we originally wanted to release, we thought we were going to be releasing long ago. And then of course, you know, March comes around and like, no, not happening. Nothing's happening. So we held back. And then when we started to think, okay, like after people got over the shock of our situation, like we started to think again about maybe, okay, well, we got to move forward. So we started to think maybe in June or July, we'd start to release again. But yeah, that wasn't happening either. Like, so it was a lot of like waiting and, you know, anticipation to make it happen. But yeah, we finally did.
Now we're full steam ahead and we understand the limitations of what, like, we like to rock. We like to be on stage. We like to be killing it.
This project is very much about the live show in a lot of ways.
It's hard. Yeah. We now have like rehearsals we're doing again. So at least we get to rock out a bit there. At least like it's one step closer, but we know what we can do. And we have a lot of skills like between us to do a lot, make a lot of moves and do a lot of creative things without playing, like the graphics, the videos, all that kind of stuff.
You guys have a very prominent sort of powerful stage presence. And as you said, it's the live show is like a really important component to what you guys do. So how has this whole last few months, how's this whole quarantine experience kind of affected on what you do? I know you talked a little bit about that, but maybe you could go into it a little bit more.
I mean, it is definitely different. I think that for us, our live show is very much about, like, I think this project came about for a lot of reasons. And it's funny because we've known each other for a decade and we didn't stop to think about doing something like this until like
three years ago.
We should have done it a long time ago. I think this project very much centers around our relationship. And I think the very physical performance of it is a manifestation of that, kind of like an expression of that, because, you know, a relationship can be very like intense in a lot of ways. So it is kind of hard to bring to take away that live aspect, because, you know, like I have other projects, and in my other projects, like for one, like my looping project, Alyssa Vox Raw, like it's a lot more intimidating because it's all on you and it's very technical and it's very there's not really much room for error at all in that project because it's all looped, it's all live, and anything that goes wrong can be repeated and repeated. So, but with this one, I think we both really look forward to the live show. It's just like such a release, and I feel like the audience responds and releases too.
And it is tough without it.
Like, yeah, right now it's tough without it. But I think that now we just have like the album to focus on, and we have literally probably like 3 albums worth of unfinished material in our like phone recordings and stuff. So we have so much that we can still work on. And I think now is a really good time. And I think a lot of musicians are doing this, is just like using this as time to kind of refocus and you know, figure out strategy, figure out a lot of the stuff that maybe sometimes falls a bit to the wayside when you're busy with touring and playing shows.
So you guys have known each other for almost a decade. Can you tell me how Queens and Kings came about?
Do you want to tell the story?
Or I mean, we can tell some. I had met a mutual friend. Well, how Queens and Kings came about or how we met?
It's all kind of...
You know, I will leave the details to your discretion.
It was cool. Like, what I think is great is that, like, we had a mutual person in Queens. It was her friend and someone who I had just met. I hadn't known her yet or whatever, but he said, I'm doing that, hosting this open mic down in Kensington. Why don't you come down? So I'm like, sure. I had just moved back from Vancouver to Toronto. And so I went down to see, you know, what was going on here because I wanted to get up and play. And then I walk in and Alyssa's on stage and she's playing. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? Like, I was hearing all these voices, all these different layers, all these crazy rhythms. And I don't usually pick out my phone and record anything, like, unless it's like massive, like Stone Temple Pilots or something, or I'm at a big show. But with her, it was like immediately I was just filming going, what the hell is going on here? It was so amazing. And then I got talking to her and just said, hey, you want to go to open mics together and stuff like that. So we started to just do that and become friends. And I think that's really a bond that lasts longer. Being friends and having that locked in for so long that we did, and really, like, you know, you get a bit of a more of a base, you know?
Yeah, we started hanging out and we just went to a bunch of open mics and yeah, we just had a bond and, you know, just kind of grew over the years. And then we kind of, I think one of the strongest chords of our relationship was just always that we were always so motivated musically. And this was before Brendan got into other pursuits. So, you know, we were always just kind of really pushing our own projects, and at times we would kind of back each other. Like I predominantly was like a solo artist, but you know, I did a few festivals where I'd have other people play, or there was one song that Brendan would come up sometimes and play on, and I would do back.
Yeah, just play guitar for her project.
So we just, and then we did a collaboration with his, he has a electronic project called Bucky James. So we did, and there's a video for it. Walk in the Fine Line, Bucky James and Alyssa Boxcroft. So that was our first kind of like real co-write, I guess, thing that we actually kind of put out together. And I've always wanted to do a project like this.
We both wanted to get back to rock and roll,
and Alyssa Boxcroft didn't suit this kind of like rock, which I really felt needed, like acoustic, like actual kind of instruments. And
I was doing singer-songwriter, like acoustic guitar and just playing. I played drums for other bands as well, so multi-instrumental stuff. But for years, she was doing Alyssa Boxcroft. For years, I was doing singer-songwriter with an acoustic. But my old heart is back in like rock and stuff.
And I think we both really wanted to do that. This is like, I like every kind of music, like so many different kinds of music. But I think my real, like the stuff that really drives me is kind of like energetic. And for me, it's like often because I'm a female, I really relate to a lot of like female fronted or female music where there's a strong female presence, I guess. It just kind of gave us an outlet to make this, basically at the same time I decided to seriously focus on drums, we started this project. So I was kind of like getting my drum chops in like at the same time we were.
And well, we didn't even say we didn't have this master plan about how it was all going to go down. We're like, let's just jam.
Yeah.
See what happens.
We'd done that before. We had a friend who had a little space. Remember Jessica? She had a space behind her house and she had a drum kit. We have all these old videos of us just like fucking around.
Yeah. It was these little seeds, you know, that get planted that you don't even realize are happening. Yeah. They're just getting planted and they're being watered and you don't realize like little bits here and there. And then she started like learning exponentially quickly on the drums. And she's always like, well, guitar, I don't think it's my thing. Like she plays guitar, but she's like, I think I'm going to learn faster on drums.
No, I like guitar, but it's just not like, I don't think I could ever, you know, become like, you know, a master guitarist.
Yes,
like,
drums, so that I just is my feel point, more of an affinity.
I know, it's your point. Drums are just something I feel like I have like more of a natural, like, inclination towards.
Thanks, Alyssa and Brendan from Queens and Kings.
Thanks for having us.
This is Queens and Kings' new song, I'm Begging. I did eat the bug. That's a good one. Thanks again, Alyssa and Brendan, for joining me. It was a blast hanging out with you guys. Let's keep this rock and roll train chugging along, shall we? The Dirty Nil is an indie rock band from Hamilton, Ontario. The group won Breakthrough Group of the Year at the Juno Awards in 2017. The band consists of frontman Luke Bentham, bassist Ross Miller, and drummer Kyle Fisher. Oh no, really? Is that what it's called? The band is revving up for the release of their new album, Fuck Art, due out this January, 2021. Oh, we can't wait for that month to come, hopefully. This is the first single by the band from their new album, and the new album is called Fuck Art, which is awesome. This is the first single. The song is called Doom Boy. Here it is. This is Doom Boy by The Dirty Nil.
But the winds are-
That's good. That's good to get the energy up. That was Doom Boy by The Dirty Nil. The album comes with a pretty fantastic video in which the band performs in and then actively destroys a Dodge Caravan. As a hilarious side note, that is apparently the band's frontman's Luke's mom's car that they destroyed. So any moms out there with creative kids who are making music, make sure you check your insurance. I mean, I'm sure she was cool with it. I mean, I feel like my mom might let me destroy her car for art. Probably have to make sure she has a new car pretty quickly, though. On that note, I want to thank you all for hanging out with me. Thanks to Alyssa and Brendan of Queens and Kings for hanging out with the show. Connect with Dropout on social media at Dropout Entertainment. Visit us online at dropoutentertainment.ca. This show is available on Dropout Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern Time. And Dropout Radio is available again at dropoutentertainment.ca, streaming independent Canadian music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just keeping it going, keeping it rocking. The show is also available as the New Music Mondays podcast, available anytime you want, and that's available at Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Dropout Entertainment is licensed to play through SoCan, so shout out to SoCan, you guys are the best. I am your host, Ben in Toronto, and now back to more of Canada's real independent music. This is Dropout Radio.